I wanted to, while I'm getting ready here, I wanted to remind everybody this is the last Thursday night service that we're going to have, and we're going to do the Fight Club with the guys, and Tina's going to do Mountain Women Bible study on Wednesday or Thursday night. I was just thinking of, because I was in Wednesday night service last night, but so anyway, that's coming up next week, and ladies, you'll probably meet here. Guys, it's a secret. I'm not sure where we're going to meet next week. Just come to the foyer and we'll let you know. Or maybe Sunday we'll give you a card and tell you where we're going to meet. But you can't tell anybody, okay? So it's just for the guys. We're going to teach you how to fight and win. And that starts next week. Well, welcome to the Fellowship of the Burning Hearts. And I pray that your heart is burning with passionate love for Jesus tonight. And passionate love for one another. Amen. The Spirit's first agenda is to establish the first commandment in the first place of our lives. That's Matthew chapter 22, 37 and 38, because Jesus said this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and give everything to Him. In the next verse, in verse 39, or 37 rather, there it is. This is the first, 38, this is the first and great commandment. So He loves us with all His heart and wants us to respond with all of our heart. All of our love for Jesus. You can't just give Him 90% because He doesn't give you 90%. If God only loved with us with a part of who He is, because God is love, it would deny His character. So I understand now that the wholehearted love that God has for me, I now have wholehearted love towards Him. And it's interesting that the love the Godhead experienced, the same love that the Father had for the Son, and the Son had for the Father, God has for you and me, no less. That's an amazing truth. And we will only enter into our full inheritance, and I want you to get this, if you can put that on the screen, we'll only enter into our full inheritance or our destiny as we love God with all of our heart. I think a lot of people today are struggling in their purpose, struggling in their destiny, because they have half-hearted love toward God. A wholehearted, burning love for God thrusts you forward into your purpose and into your destiny. Now I want to show you a couple of scriptures that I think are really important, and I'm not going to be long-winded tonight. I feel like we spent a lot of time in the presence of the Lord, and that was awesome, and I think the Holy Spirit was speaking. But I just want to have to say this before I read these scriptures. I did not write the Bible. Is that okay? All right, good. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. And I want us to read this together, so kind of help me a little bit. Ready? In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Okay? So here's the difference. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, when you start talking about love for God and love for one another, it is a very serious matter, because our love for God will be evidenced by our love for one another. So John, the apostle of love, writes and says, whoever doesn't practice righteousness is not of God. Well, we know that he became sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that's how we practice our righteousness. But he also said, nor does he who does not love his brother. Loving your brother. Loving your brother. Now, I know you're probably like a guy in the Bible that said, but Lord, who is my brother? And Jesus told them a story about a man that was overcome on the road to Jericho. Do you remember the story? And he was trying to express to them that every person in need of love is your brother. Let me say that one more time. Every person that's in need of love at any given time is your brother. Let's go to another chapter, 1 John chapter 4. I got three verses there that I want to show you. Verse 8, well actually 4. Verse 8, 11, 20, and 21. But we'll go with 8 first. Ready? Let's read this together. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Isn't that crazy? I don't know why that's in the Bible. That is a weird scripture. It actually tells us that if we do not love, we don't know God. So you cannot not know God and not love. I mean, if you say you know God, you're going to love. However, if you say you know God and you don't love, then you don't know God. Because God is love. Does that make sense to everybody? Now you say, well, what is love? Well, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, read verses 4 through 8, a great definition of love. And I'm not going to take the time to do that. Most of you are Bible scholars and you can figure that out. But then go down to verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, now verse 11. Let's read it. Ready? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So now we're seeing that there is a purposeful love. So on purpose, I get up in the morning and I on purpose love those that I come in communion with and in contact with. I ought to love. That is my MO. That is how I do life. I do life by demonstrations of God's love. Now another verse found in verse 20. We're going to go 20 and 21. Read this one with me. Ready? If someone says, now wait, let me, before we read all of it, I just want you to strap your seatbelt on. Okay, ready? All right, here we go. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a, I didn't put that in the Bible, all right? For he who does not love his brother, come on, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? So this whole thing of love walk with God is played out in our relationship with one another. And remember last week we talked about the perfect love of the Godhead. And the perfect love of the Godhead between the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's perfect love between them. And in Genesis 1, they said, let us make man in our own image. In our own image, they created man. Because it wasn't that God needed somebody to praise him. Or he was lonely. Perfect love always multiplies and shares. It is just part of it. So it is part of the attributes of love. So he created man and had this love relationship because he wanted man to enjoy it. Then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he gave him Eve. Because he said, look, now that you have this love and we're sharing this love together, it's good that you share this love with someone else. The concept here is there is no room in Christendom to hate anyone. Now, that's tough. I understand. Because sometimes people do mean things to us. They talk bad about us. They despitefully use us. They betray us. They take advantage of us. Never in the kingdom is it justified to hate another person. Not if you know God. Now, look at the next verse, verse 21. Again, I did not write the Bible. All right, ready? Here we go. Read it. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must. Say must. No options. Now, I may not like you, but I've got to love you. Okay? We understand that this love relationship with one another is as a result of our love relationship with the Father. It's what propels me to connect with you is that I want to share with you the love, the same love I've got from the Father, I want to share with you. And God's very own love is imparted to his people through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. God shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit the love of God. So the communion of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times in worship when you're communing with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's first and foremost agenda. Do you have Romans 5:5? The first and foremost agenda of the Holy Spirit is to establish the first and greatest commandment of Jesus. That's what he does. So when you're in worship, he's going to begin to pour into your heart a greater revelation of God's love. Now, what is that going to do? It is going to prompt you in acts of love. It's going to be kindness. It's going to be words of encouragement. It's going to be prophecy. It's going to be laying hands on someone and praying for them to be delivered. It's going to be all of the manifestations of the kingdom. The wisdom of God, the power of God, is an expression of the love of God. Do you get that? So where the love of God is, there is the wisdom and the power of God, because it is God's love in action. Look, the gifts of the Spirit are God's love in action. So to love like crazy means to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. If you want to be activated in the gifts of the Spirit, then it is important to sensitize yourself to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to fill your heart with the love of God. Because it is the love of God that manifests itself in mercy and grace. It's an amazing truth. Now, we'll never love God more by trying harder to love. You know, like, I'm going to love God more today. I'm just going to love Him more. I'm going to turn TV off. And I'm going to love God. And I'm not going to play with my checkered board. And I'm not going to do this today. I'm going to love God. I'm just going to give God my whole day. You know, you're not going to love God more like that. That's not going to happen, okay? How do we love God more? How do we increase our love level with God? Let me show the scripture to you in 1 John chapter 3 and 1. Again, the apostle of love, all right? 1 John 3, 1. Ready? Let's read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Now, what does the word behold mean? Hey, look! Hey, psst, look at here! Woo! That's what behold means. So look at what manner. What's the word manner? It's the quality. So behold is focus on the quality of love. Focus on the quality of love the Father has bestowed upon you, who has released upon you. So beholding, focusing on the quality of love the Father has bestowed on us. That's how we love God more. By seeing more of the quality of love, that's how we increase in that love. So I need to know God's heart. And when I do that, the Holy Spirit will reveal if that's my desire. Now, Jesus defined loving God as being rooted in the spirit of obedience. Now, I don't want to get into a long discourse in this and a lot of illustration. I can. But every act of obedience will introduce you to a greater level and depth of God's love. Obedience in the little things will introduce you to more of God's love. See, we don't obey God out of ritual or out of legalism. We obey God out of love. I love Him. So when I obey Tina, she doesn't get up in the morning and say, "All right, Buster, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it." And I'm, "Yes, ma'am," right away. And I obey her? No. She releases her heart and her desire to me. And I have to catch it. When I catch it, I'm obeying. In other words, I'm complying with her heart's desire, and I'm fulfilling that. I've connected with what her passion is. Maybe her passion in the middle of February is for flowers, fresh flowers in the living room. So off to Trader Joe's I go, and I buy all the orange flowers they have. And I come home, and I put them in the vase here, and a vase there, and a vase here, and a vase there. And when she walks in the house, there's beautiful, fresh orange flowers throughout the whole house. What I've done is I've obeyed, I complied, I listened, I functioned and walked in her heart's desire. That's what obedience to God is when you have a love relationship with God. What is God's passion for your day? What is God's heart for your life? What is God's desire for this generation? Do you follow me? When you get in tune with that and you obey that, you walk in that, this love begins to grow. So Jesus defined love as being rooted in a spirit of obedience. Now, I want to share with you about, there's a scripture, I can't remember the text, I didn't write it down, but it's in 1 Corinthians about, or maybe it's 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The spirit of liberty is found in the fellowship of the burning heart of God's love. And when you have a burning heart of passion and love for God, you're going to have liberty. Liberty is being liberated from a spirit of condemnation, a spirit of lack of trust, rejection, lust, dullness, boredom. You know, when in my relationship with my wife, I have liberty. I have liberty to be me because her love for me gives me liberty from boredom, dullness, from condemnation, from rejection. Her love for me, and when I experience that, it reverses the rejection I experienced as a child when I was in the natural family that I was birthed in. Her love for me gave me liberty to feel accepted. You follow what I'm saying? Now, when we talk about a spirit of liberty that's found in perfect love, it's not being liberated so you can go out and party on Friday night. Well, blessed be the name of God, I'm already forgiven anyway, so let me just go out there and be with my friends and maybe I'll win them for Jesus. And you know, that's not the kind of liberty we're talking about. Or it's not about freedom to live in compromise. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about to live in an exhilarated life or exhilarated heart which encounters God's heart. Now, that's really our passion for love, is to encounter God's heart. So every day of your life, you want to say, God, I want to encounter your heart today. I want to be obedient to the desire that I pick up in our love relationship. And if you want orange flowers, that's all I need to know. You don't even have to ask for them. You are going to be showered with them because I picked up on it. And this is a love relationship. So it doesn't matter if I didn't have time. It doesn't matter if I didn't have extra money. It doesn't matter if I didn't want to go to the store. It doesn't matter. Those things are non-consequential because the passion for the moment, for the encountering the heart of love, supersedes all the objections. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when God so loved the world, that's why Romans 5:8 says, even while we were sinners, he demonstrated his love for us, that he died. We didn't even acknowledge him, but he went to Trader Joe's anyway because he knew we liked salvation before we even knew it. He did for us before we even responded. That's why now we can respond to him. He showed us the pattern of a burning heart. He showed us the pattern of what it takes to have love unconditional. That includes this whole encountering God's heart. And please hear me here. I believe in missions trips. I believe in outreaches. I believe in, you know, going to the JK camp. I believe in all those things. Don't misinterpret me. But this encountering God's heart includes more than going on an adventurous ministry trip for 2 weeks. I'm going to go out and do this for God. Praise God. I'm going to do this for God. You might have done that for God. You might have passed out food. You may have passed out tracts. You may have built a house. You may have put clothes on the back of naked children. But did you encounter God? Did you encounter God's heart? It's encountering God's heart. There's a difference between socialized works and encountering God's heart. You could do the very same thing that looks like it's from a passionate heart of love, but one is works and the other one is passion. You follow? So you and I have to be encountering God's heart. It's more than just having a ministry assignment that impacts people. You say, well, I'm going to have this conference and we're going to spend a week seeking God, or I'm going to have this worship night, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. That's a great things to do. But did you encounter God in it? It's not just going through religious exercise, right? It's not religious exercise. It is a burning love for God. Now, the problem that a lot of us have in loving other people is we can't love ourselves. Now, the second commandment said to love others even as you love yourself. And you're like, okay, that's impossible. I can't do that. We're to love ourselves, though, and this will help you. Love yourself through the lens, through the perspective of Jesus and His and our great worth to Him. Do you know how much worth you have in the mind of Christ? Love yourself through the perspective and the vision that Jesus has for you, a soul, a precious soul. It doesn't matter if you're an alcoholic soul, or you're a rejected soul, or you're a weak soul. Whatever your condition is, God looks beyond all those things and He sees who He created you to be. He loves you like crazy. To understand and get the perspective that Jesus loves us on that level, that we have such great worth to Him, now I understand I can love myself how He loves me. How He loves me without all the objections. We have incredible value and worth to Jesus. And seeing this changes the way we feel about God, the way we feel about life, the way we feel about others. Because we see ourselves and our new identity and our destiny and worth in God's love. And it empowers us to love ourselves in God. You know, God is never going to create another Lou. I mean, I'm it. Out of the 6 billion on the planet, there's not a comparable. You just can't find anybody like me. I'm an original. And how I work and what I do and how I think, God said, I just want you to possess those things. And I am so proud of you. I am so in love with you. I'm like, you're amazing. And you have to understand from the lens of His perspective about you so that you can learn to love yourself the way He sees you. Not the way you have messed up. Not the way that you have blown it. Not the way that you have ignored whatever responsibilities in life, etc. You know how the devil comes in with condemnation, right? But the Bible calls us both to love ourselves and at the same time, see, this will help you. The Bible calls us to love ourselves and at the same time to hate yourself. We got the hate part down. A lot of ourselves, we hate ourselves. We look in the mirror and go, I hate you. Why'd you do that? But that's not the hate that God's talking about. If you go to Luke 14, I'm sorry. Luke 14 in verse 26. Listen to this verse. This verse is very insightful. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Whoa, I gotta hate my mom? Cool. I don't like her anyway. No, that's not what he's meaning. He's not meaning for you to hate your natural mother. What he's telling us there is to hate our life outside of knowing Him. Despise and hate existence prior to knowing love. And realizing when you cross over into that life that you're in a hate zone. I don't do life without God's love. Ooh, yeesh, that's, ooh, no. I don't talk negative about myself. I don't talk negative about other people. I don't compare myself among others. I don't degrade other people. I don't speak an unwholesome word toward another person. Because that's in the hate zone. Do you follow me? Jesus said to learn to hate our life. And when you draw the line in the sand, it's recognizable when you cross over. The problem is, we have so made it convenient in the church to walk in the hate zone because we're just human. We are human, but you've been redeemed. And if you love God, you'll love your brother. I didn't write that. Remember 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, verse 20, 21. Remember verse 8? It tells us that that is the natural outflow of that. So we have this amazing, indescribable value, and we have to see ourselves in this love and hate category. All right? I hope you understand what I'm talking about. That I can't really spend a lot more time on that. But loving ourselves for His sake, and to be jealous to be all that He called us to be. I'm saying, God, I'm jealous. I don't want to be this. I'm jealous for this. I'm jealous for this. I want to love like You love. And I gave a quick illustration about this. It was not this week, because I didn't get a chance to go to Love Center, but the week before. And, you know, a lot of people come in, and you can begin to assess them using the system. I mean, they go from food cupboard to food cupboard. And it's almost predictable. You can tell when the bulk of the people will come in, because our food cupboard's open from 11 to 1, and there's a couple of others that are open from 9 to 11. And as soon as they close, we get a surge of people, because they get their food there, then they come to ours to get food at ours. And if you're not careful, you'll cross over into the hate zone. Illustration. Kayton's hate zone failure. Are you ready? But I jumped back out of it almost as quick as I jumped into it. An elderly woman had all these groceries. Joyce, you know, sometimes they go out of there with bags. She couldn't carry them. I offered to carry them. Not a problem. So I carried them out to her waiting vehicle. But it was a relatively new pickup truck with two young men in the pickup truck waiting for grandma to come out with the groceries. And I was carrying them. I went from the love zone to the hate zone. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I don't think so. In that moment, I thought, no, this is an assignment to love like crazy. And I approached the vehicle, put the groceries in the back, opened the door, slid my booty right into the seat with them, and asked them how they were doing, and said, "Happy Thursday." So why'd you do that? Because I hate when I hate. I don't like me on that side. That is a horrible life. Yeah, but that is a horrible life. Their condition does not determine the zone I live in. Do you follow what I'm saying? I must love like crazy. I am part of the fellowship of burning hearts. One more story. By the way, thank you for those of you that donated a bed to Sierra. I don't know if you're here, but you donated a bed. A week ago Thursday, this girl came in, shorts on, halter top, purple wig. She come bopping in for food. I'm sitting there with my prayer, free prayer, free hugs sign. I said, "Hi, happy Thursday, how you doing? I like your hair." I did, I thought it was pretty cool. Purple hair, that's pretty awesome. She said, "Thank you." And then she goes, "Pastor Louie, do you remember me?" I said, "No." She goes, "I was at Joshua Kids." I said, "Well, how old were you when you came?" She goes, "10. I said, "Well, how old are you now?" 26. I said, "Well, sweetheart, I can't remember 16 years ago. I'm sorry, I don't remember." She goes, "I was in Joshua Teens too. I love Pastor Teen. I love her." And I said, "It's great to see you." I said, "How you doing?" And, "Oh, we just lost everything in this flood." You know, that was right a couple weeks after that big flood, the first one that everybody had. And my children and I found a new place, but we have no furniture and we're sleeping on the floor. I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "How many children do you have?" She said, "6. Okay, remember this zone? Purple hair, 6 kids coming for food. Now you need beds." I'm like, I said, "I can get you beds." After we got done, there was a gentleman there who was listening to this whole conversation. And he debated with me of her disqualification to receive that kind of help because she's bilking the system. And I said, "That is not the qualification for how Love Zone operates. While you were yet a bilking the system person, Christ died for you, right? Now, I'm not saying become a divine doormat. That's not what I'm preaching here. But I'm saying you take advantage of every opportunity to love like crazy. Today, Joshua and who was it again? Bryson got in the church box truck, took three beds, two singles and one double or queen or whatever it was. Did we end up getting sheets and stuff? Okay. This is how love works. When the people who volunteered to give the beds, Josh said he'll come pick them up. He delivered them to her house. The people that gave the beds said, what are the genders of the children? I said, I don't know. There's just six of them. I mean, probably a couple boys, a couple girls. I mean, they can't be all girls. I mean, what's the odd of that, right? Well, they called her and found out. And the people that were giving the beds bought appropriate gender sheets, pillowcases, and blankets so that when they got the beds, it would be complete set based on the boy or the girl. Now, that's loving like crazy. And nobody asked if she's qualified to receive this love. Can I tell you? Nobody ever asked if you and I are qualified to receive the love of Jesus Christ. God loved us even before we knew Him. So we're talking about the loving of ourselves. It's difficult to love others if you don't see yourself through the lens of God's value and worth over your life. We have a tendency to judge others based on our inadequacies. So we magnify Jesus as we love ourselves in agreement with His love for us. And honor His investment in us. I have to honor God's investment in me. So that means I'm going to love other people the same way He loved me. So you and I have to ask the Holy Spirit. Can we do this right now, just real quickly? I mean, if you're watching online, do it with us as well. Just close your eyes for a minute and just ask the Holy Spirit to let or allow you to see what He sees in people. Ask the Holy Spirit to feel what He feels when He looks at you. Ask the Holy Spirit, how do you feel about girls with purple hair? Unmarried and six children. How do you feel about that, Holy Spirit? And I'm going to tell you, Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And He's going to give you insight from the heart of God. Self-hatred results in a deep sense of rejection. And it damages our ability to love others and to receive love from people. And He wants us to be liberated in that. You see, the Lord wants us to enter into the feelings He has for us. I want to enter into the feelings that you have for me. That's why it's important to express our love. That's why it's important to verbalize our appreciation towards one another. That's why it's important to create acts of kindness as often as we can to whomever we can. Because what it does is it expresses and defines who God is in a generation. He's not a theologian. It doesn't say, and God is theology. Well, it's a study of God. Theo, God, ology. It's the study of God. God said, look, you can study about me all you want. You can seek the gifts and the power of God, the manifestations of the Spirit. And if you don't have love, man, 1 Corinthians 13 will blow your socks off if you read it in some of these new translations. You can know all mysteries about the Bible. You can prophesy. You can do great signs and wonders. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. That's what the Bible says. even that scripture tells me you can operate in that stuff apart from love. That's the danger, because we see these things operating and it's like qualification for a relationship with God, but that's not what he said. I'll go back to 1 John if you want me to. I mean, it's a real wake-up call for me. So we are to love fellow believers who mistreat us because God loves them as he loves us. There's not one person that's qualified for my wrath. There's not one. I mean, you can talk about me. You may hurt me. You may make me cry. But I won't hate you. I refuse to step over into the hate zone. That's not life. That's death. I'm going to stay in the love zone. And I want to invite you to walk in that. I want you to get up in the morning and say, God, teach me to love like crazy today. I was driving today and I had a challenging day. It was confrontational and a lot of back and forth confrontation with the owner of our building in the east. And I was going back and forth and I was driving and I saw about 8 teenagers walking down the street. I'm just driving down this road. I didn't know where I was at. I was in the neighborhood somewhere. And as I was driving by, I saw them, and they could be so easily stereotyped. I mean, their pants were down, you know, and they were all, one with no shirt on, they're all hanging out, and they're just kids. And as I was driving by, I said, God, do you want me to stop and talk to them, or give them money, or pray with them, or, God, I don't want to go do this. I want to go talk to them. Love is, loving like crazy will make you do stuff that will brighten your day. It'll fulfill your dreams. It will make you, it'll embellishes your life. It will embellish your life. I'm going to close with this thought. Who, if you were to ask the Holy Spirit, who would the Holy Spirit be speaking to you about right now? If you were to ask him, would he speak to you about anybody? Guy that you work with? Someone you saw at Walgreens at the counter? A neighbor that's not very friendly that you say hi to and they don't respond? We've got a number of those. We go, hi, and they're like, why are you talking to me? I don't know you. You know how it is. You get in the elevator and everybody's looking at straight ahead and you go, so, happy Thursday, everybody. And they're like, why are you talking? This is an elevator. We don't talk in the elevator. All right, now, let's just do it. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Holy Spirit, come on, say it with me. Holy Spirit, who will you be talking about? If I were to ask you, who would you be speaking about that you want me to love like crazy? Now listen to what he tells you. Now stand up to your feet. Say this with me. My desire must mirror God's. That is, say it again. My desire must mirror God's desire. That is to share this burning love with others. One more time. Let's read it together as a group. Ready? Our desire must mirror God's desire, that is, to share this burning love with others. Holy Spirit, just put that in our heart right now. Put that in our heart right now. One last time, can we say it? Our desire must mirror God's desire, and that is to share this burning love with others. You just want to close your eyes and lift your hands up to the Lord. Let's just worship for the couple of minutes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and adjust us and introduce us. Some of you might have been hating yourself. You want to be somebody else. Doggone it, don't do that. You'll mess it up. Be yourself. Be who you are. You make a good you. You make a bad me. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. I want to stay in the love zone.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
I don't want to walk in the hate zone.
This place and fill the atmosphere.
I want to be compelled by love.
God is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Welcome here.
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Fill my heart with your love,
glory,
God.
Glory, God, is what
fill my heart with your love, God.
So be overcome by your presence, Lord. Spirit, you are welcome.
You're welcome.
Come
here.
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I know there's not a lot of us, but if you can cross that out, take somebody by the hand. And I want you to pray that they would begin to love themselves through the lens or the revelation that love that Jesus has for them. That they would love themselves the way God loves them and the way He values their worth. Father, just make that real to my friend on the right and the left. And now, Father, I pray that if there's been self-hatred, we bind that and we cast it away at the cross. Father, past failure, past sin, error, mistakes, and now we've been walking in condemnation. Father, I just release them now to realize that love takes into no account a wrong suffered. So, Lord, let them be released right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, for the person on my right and on my left, that when they get up in the morning, they will love on purpose and they'll never cross over into the hate zone. And if they do, it'll be like jumping in boiling hot water. And as quick as their toe hits it, God, they're going to jump right back out and go, no way am I going to stay there. I pray, God, for the person on my right and on my left, that they would love like crazy and become part of the fellowship of the burning hearts of this last generation. That this world may see that the expressions of signs, wonders, and miracles are as a result of God's unfathomable love for this generation. For this we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love everybody, right? Love everybody, live right, pray hard. Hey, Sunday, I say this all the time, but I think this is the best message God's ever given me. And if you'll invite a friend, I believe their life will never be the same. So invite somebody to church and let's try to just fill this house with God's love. You want to do it? Come on, let's share the love on the way out tonight. Let somebody know I love you and there's nothing you can do about it.